It says our scripture reading is going to be Psalm 146, but that was like Tim's, and mine's going to be a little bit different. And I wish I had a kind of a Christmas message. There is some snow involved, so that's close. But I didn't really plan to do this right before Christmas. So if you want to follow me along, I'm going to read out of a pew Bible. Job 38. And this may be a little bit different. This may not be your typical Sunday before Christmas message, but it's kind of spoke to me. Let's go to the Lord's prayer, to the Lord's word. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. And I'm going to stop for a second and give a little prelude to this, whatever. I think we all know who Job is. I think we know the troubles and trials that Job went through. And it got to the point near the end of Job with his friends there telling him all the wrong he had done. And Job telling that, you know, kept repeating that I didn't really deserve this. I'm a good man. I'm an honest man. I'm a God-fearing man. Why did this happen to me? And questioning God. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in places, when I said, 'This far you may come, no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt.' Have you ever given orders to the morning, or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light, and their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the depth? Or deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the vast expanse of the earth? Tell me if you know all of this. What is the way to the abode of light? Where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the path to their dwellings? Surely you know, for you were already born. You have lived so many years. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow, or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed, or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth. Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm to water a land where no man lives? A desert with no one in it, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass. Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens? When the waters become hard as stone, when the surfaces of the deep is frozen, can you bind the beautiful palisades? Can you loosen the cords of Orion? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons or lead out the bear with his cubs? Do you know the laws of heaven? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, "Here we are"? Who endowed the heart with wisdom or gave understanding to the mind? Who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars of heaven? When the dust becomes hard and the clods of earth stick together, do you hunt the prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of the lions? When they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in a thicket, who provides food for the ravens when its young cry out to God and wonder about the lack of food? As you read on through Job 39, 40, God continues to question Job on his wisdom and why Job questions God on his wisdom. Now, like I said, this is probably not the typical message that you would talk about the Sunday before Christmas. But we often question God. We looked at the tornadoes that tore through Kentucky and Arkansas, those states, and we continue to have kind of different weather today. I'm sure there's scientists that would like to claim reasons for this different type of weather. But I think the Lord knows what he's doing. We question God. But do we have the right? Now, I'll tell you a little story. And this is kind of where the talk comes in, because, like I said, it's not really necessarily a sermon. I think it was January of 19. And I had bought a little John Deere tractor from one of my farmers. It's got a cab on it. If I'd have had one of them as a kid, I'd probably be farming today. All we have is an H Farmall. That was one way to turn me off of farming. I'm just telling you. If you've ever been on an H Farmall, a 1948 model, you'll know what I'm talking about. But I bought this, and so I had a snow, a blade. And so I got the bright idea. It snowed that January 19, here a couple years ago. It snowed pretty good. And where I live, in case most of you don't know, if you go on down New Sterling, go through the hard curve that Ever McNeely for now at least five generations have slid into at some time in their life. And down the hill and across the bridge, I'm up there on the right. And that's probably one of the most treacherous pieces of highway in the county because of that hill, that curve, that bridge, and going up the other side. And so, not to really say that I do this neighborly, but I do. I get out and I usually scrape from about there. Sometimes I get carried away and I'll scrape a little farther. But it's fun to get out in that tractor. And I got the cab and the heat on. And I, you know, turn my phone on and listen to music. And nobody's bothering me because it snowed and everybody's in their house. And so I've got some peace and quiet. And I can do as I please in the cab of that tractor almost, as long as I don't run over somebody's mailbox. And so I scraped the roads. But there is an alternative reason for it, I have found. Because of that treacherous road, I tend to get people knocking on my door at different times saying, I'm stuck, could you come get me out? So I feel like if I scrape it during the day and get it in pretty decent shape, I'll sleep at night. I won't get those 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning knocks on the door, and while they're out with it snowed like it has, I don't know anyway, but people do what they do. So one of my experiences scraping there, and I had been elected county commissioner, and the title of the sermon, maybe I should go back to that, is, Are You Really All That? So, and of course, one of my neighbors, he thinks I scraped the road to get votes. Hey, whatever, you know? Can't hurt. But, and that's Ricky Watt. And I've known Ricky since I was in high school. We thought Ricky was the assistant principal. He had all the keys at 17 years old that anybody else that worked there had. So Ricky's been with the school system forever. But I've known him forever. And Ricky Adams. I think I said Ricky Watt. Ricky Adams. And so I was out scraping. Hadn't even got started good. And there's a pin on the top of my loader. It's got a little loader on the front of it, the bucket, so I can do that, or I can scrape with the back, with the blade. Well, my pin come out, and so my arm on the top of my lift disjointed come out of its slot. So I was broke down a little bit. I was able to sort of raise it up enough and limp back to the house, kind of disgusted, you know. I don't do a lot of maintenance on that tractor. I just get in and drive it. That's the way I am about stuff, unfortunately. And so it had come out, and the pin was gone. So I was in trouble. I wasn't going to be able to scrape the roads there in front of the house and some down to my neighbors and up the road a little bit until I found that pin. And so I come in the house, and I told Cindy, I said, you know, and it snowed, and it got a little Jack Russell that crazy. I said, I'll take the dog out for a walk. Surely walking in about 6 inches of snow will wear her down some, so that way we can have some peace in the house. And I said, in the meantime, I'll look for that pen. It's on the road somewhere or another, and, you know, I'll walk the dog and find my pen. So I got the dog, and I hadn't headed much out of the driveway, took a right, and there was that pen laying right there in the middle of the road. And I said, well, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, because I didn't know how I was going to work this, because it was no way to get, I wasn't going to be able to go to town and get it. So I said, well, this means I can go back at it here in a little while. I'll be fine. So I was feeling pretty good about myself. Got lucky. Lord bless me. Found my pen. So, but I still had the dog, and I still needed to walk this, and I know y'all are wondering where the story's going. I am too. So I walk on up the road. That part I hadn't got scraped yet. I walk up the road, and there's Ricky out in his yard shoveling around his driveway, and he says, you know, I just knew that when we got a county commissioner, and I was that then before I became a house rep, on our road, that we would become one of the first ones scraped instead of the very last road. Now, I don't know how many of y'all think you live on the road that gets scraped last in the county, but trust me, I used to get phone calls and still do, and not everybody lives on the last road that gets scraped. Y'all think you do, but you don't, all right? There is some that do, but not everybody, but everybody always calls. I'm the last road to get scraped. And so anyway, so Ricky thought, finally, we would not be the last road to get scraped. And he says, but I see, I guess that don't matter. And I said, well, you know, being a little cocky about the whole thing, I said, you know, I'm working on it. That's a line I use. My wife loves that. Either that or I've got it on my list. Those are two lines I like to use for stuff that I need to do that ain't getting done. But I said, I'm working on it. We'll see if we can't get that taken care of like that. Had no idea what I was going to do about that, you know. So I walked up. Ricky lives near the end of the road. So I walked up with the dog, and our big thing is to go up to the end of New Sterling and turn around and come back. You know, that's about close to half a mile up, half a mile back. That's our exercise routine. So as I'm heading back down, I hadn't much more than turned around. Here come the snow plow up the road, scraping the road. Ricky's still out there in his yard and his driveway cleaning up. So I walked back by and I said, "Can I do anything else for you?" Because if that's not service, I don't know what is. And Ricky said, "Well, I am impressed." I said, "You're welcome." I said, "That's what county commissioners do." And I walked off with my dog, and we both had a little skip in our step because, you know, the Lord had provided. And I was feeling pretty good about myself. And so I come walking down the road, and I was like, "Man, that was great." I said, "Now I don't have to worry about fixing my tractor today because they scraped the road." Well, when I got back down, and maybe I left this part out. I can't remember, but it's kind of critical to the whole story. I didn't want to carry this little greasy pen in my hand or in my pocket to walk the dog, so I pitched it right back onto the end of the driveway. Now we're seeing where it's going, huh? So feeling pretty good about myself, thinking I'm all that, I get back down there, and there's about 3 foot of snow piled up on my driveway, which I'd already cleaned off all of, but there was a snow scraper threw it back on there when it come through. And under that 3 foot of snow was a pen about this long, kind of greasy, that I didn't really want to handle more than I had to. So I dug, and I dug, and I dug, and it was not to be found. And I'm sitting there digging in the snow on my hands and knees on the end of my driveway, and I look up, and I say, "I get you. I get you. Yeah, I was a little cocky. That's right. I get it." So anyway, I walk in. Now I'm back to where I was before. I don't have a pen. It's somewhere, but I don't have it. I'm broke down. But the dog got walked. My neighbor believed that I was that good. And I'm right back where I started from. And it's funny. It's funny how the Lord works. And the worst, well, it wasn't the worst part, but I had a county commissioner meeting that I was getting ready to go to in a day or so. So that's why I kind of wanted to get the driveway cleaned up so my wife could get out and do what she wanted while I was gone. And so I told her, I said, "The snow's going to melt. It always does around here." I said, "In 2 or 3 days while I'm gone," I said, "if you happen to pull in and you see a little greasy pen about this long," I said, "if you don't mind, get a paper towel and save it. I need that pen." And so I go to my commissioner's conference, and I think it's on day 2 that morning maybe, or I can't remember. Anyway, next thing, my phone, you know, beeps on, and I see my wife has sent me a text, and there is a picture of a greasy little pen in a paper towel laying in our house on the counter. So she had found it. She had got it. So once again, God is good. Now, as we know the moral of this story, if you want somebody to put you in the place, just call on God. He'll help you. He'll put you in your place real quick. But just remember, don't get too high, but don't get too low. Because when you really need him, and we all need him all the time, we just don't call on him except when we think we do. He'll be there for that moment too. He'll be there in your toughest times. He'll also be sharing with you your most glorious times. Now, sadly, we take a lot of credit for our most glorious times, but it was God. It was God there in the good. It was God there in the bad. It was God there when it was tough. It was God there when it was fun. Don't ever forget that God is there. He's there 24/7. And he wants you to have that conversation with him all the time. He's wanting you to talk to him. He's wanting you to worship him. He's wanting you to be with him and him with you. And he will not leave you. He will not abandon you. He may cover up your pen. He may make life sometimes difficult or allow that to happen. But God is good all the time. All the time.